Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High. December 9th was the year anniversary of the publication of my book, World-Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs. In celebration of this milestone, we're delighted to broadcast a series of five e-seminars aligned with each of the five principles of world-class IT. Today, we broadcast the fifth and final interview in the series of e-seminars with Bob Ouellette, the CEO of AlphaTame and the former CEO of Best Buy International, speaking about Principle 5, External Partnerships. These e-seminars were produced by Ziff Davis Enterprise and rebroadcast here with their permission. I also want to thank the former editor-in-chief of CIO Insight, Brian Watson, who introduces each session and directs questions at the end of the interview. If you'd like to view the slides associated with this interview, links to the MP4 files are on our website at www.metisstrategy.com. With that, I'm happy to introduce the fifth in our series of five interviews, Bob Ouellette, speaking about world-class IT Principle 5, External Partnerships.
Hello, everyone. This is Brian Watson for CIO Insight. Welcome to today's e-seminar, Building a World-Class IT Organization. Our program gives you all the benefits of being at a trade show panel discussion, all without leaving your office. This is the fifth installment in this series. We hope you had a chance to join us for the previous sessions with Gregor Baylor, the former CIO of Capital One and NASDAQ, with Mark Settle, the CIO of BMC Corporation, Randy Spratt, the CIO and CTO of McKesson Corporation, and John Bushy, the former CEO of Ameristar Casinos and former CIO of Harrah's. If you were able to join us, welcome back. If this is your first e-seminar, welcome aboard. It's my pleasure to introduce Peter High, who's the founder and president of MetaStrategy, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm. Peter is the author of a great new book, World-Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs. I have to highly recommend this book to all current and aspiring IT leaders. It's really one of the best books on IT leadership that I've read in a very long time. Today, Peter will be speaking with Bob Ouellette, the former CEO of Best Buy International and CIO of Best Buy. Peter and Bob will discuss the fifth principle in Peter's book, External Partnerships. Now I'll turn it over to Peter to begin the conversation. Peter?
Well, thank you, Brian. I'm so pleased to welcome Bob Ouellette to this broadcast. In many ways, Bob is the ideal person to talk about Principle 5 of world-class IT, which is external partnerships. Before getting to that, I would like to give more of an overview of his background. Bob was recently named the group CEO of AlphaTame, which is a conglomerate based in the United Arab Emirates, consisting of 40-plus subsidiary units operating through eight divisions, including areas like automotive, electronics, insurance, services, and real estate and retail. Prior to that, he was the chief executive officer of Best Buy International. He was also the CIO and the EVP of operations at Best Buy. And it was during his tenure there that he oversaw the outsourcing of much of IT. And it's for that reason that I'm so pleased to talk to him about external partnerships. He is someone who has led major overall of the IT department and has creatively leveraged partners externally in order to assist with that. And so I'm sure that we'll garner a lot of great lessons from his experiences as a result. Before we begin the conversation, I wanted to just briefly go through the principles of world-class IT that Brian alluded to. As you mentioned, we've had four conversations to date, and this is our fifth. Just to explain the different aspects of the world-class IT methodology, the first principle is people. This is really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right times, it's very difficult to really accomplish much of anything, to say nothing of excellent performance. So that really is a critical foundational principle. The second one is infrastructure, and this is really the on-off switch between a reactive versus proactive organization. Those organizations that are constantly fighting fires relative to their hardware, software, networks, and so on, almost by definition aren't going to be carving up enough time to think about the future and what they might be able to do in order to support the business that they work for. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is really the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the business. Without delivering the right projects, aligning those projects to the needs of the business, the strategy of the business, delivering them on time, on budget, on scope, IT is not very likely then to have the credibility to reach the essence of the fourth principle, which is IT and business partnerships. In order for IT to be a true strategic partner of the business, it's really important that those first three principles be in place and be operating at a very high level. Now, during that the course of the fourth principle, when the IT leader will hopefully not only be participating in the conversation of what is strategic and that which is not, they can then determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners. And that takes us to the fifth principle, the one that we'll discuss today. Making sure that the organization is focused on the right sorts of partners, engaging them appropriately, and so forth, is really the essence of the fifth principle. And with that, actually, I'll then turn it to the fifth principle itself. There are three sub-principles which also act as a continuum, if you will, a virtuous cycle. With each turnaround, it becomes stronger and stronger. The first aspect of that is vendor segmentation, understanding which are your strategic vendors, which are your less strategic vendors, evaluating them and perhaps treating them differently according to the roles that they play. The second is procurement, making sure that you are getting the best value out of the deals that you're signing with vendors, making sure that you're setting up the appropriate service level agreements, and so on. And then lastly, vendor management, a very big topic certainly and a very important one, making sure that those vendors are in fact delivering upon what was intended, what was agreed upon, making sure that there are even incentives in place for them to over-deliver where appropriate. So this is, as I mentioned, it's presented as a continuum because each go around, as these three become stronger, it becomes a virtuous cycle towards better and better performance. And with that, why don't we begin our conversation with Bob. And Bob, I wanted to begin by asking you a question relative to your background. You are recently retired at the end of last year as the CEO of Best Buy International. And prior to Best Buy, you had been the head of the retail practice at Accenture. So you've been in a position on both sides of the table, if you will. You've been the outsourcer as well as the buyer of outsourced services. What lessons did you apply from having sat in both chairs?
Very good question. I think there were, just being very very blunt and straight to the point, I think there are two very distinct lessons. If I view it, first of all, from the consulting side, the big issue there, candidly, is often a lack of understanding on behalf of the consulting team or consultant partner as to what the issues are that the particular individual or business is facing. There's always a desire to go in with, you know, clearly understand what the issues are and come up with answers, but there is all too often a failure to understand the day-to-day pressures that the particular CIO or particular supply chain or CEO is facing on a day-to-day basis. So one of the most important things to do, I think, the lessons I've learned, is to make sure that you understand not just the content of what the particular client is facing, but the context of the day-to-day pressures and issues. If you understand that, then it's much easier for you to come forward with the appropriate insights, the appropriate objective analysis. From the other side of the fence, as a client looking out, looking at the help one's had from, you know, any of the consulting firms, there's all too often a misunderstanding to really not be clear enough around what are you expecting from the consulting group that you're talking to. It's very, very important that when you're engaging with a third party to help you, that you're very clear about what it is, what are the questions that you're trying to get answers to. All too often, you know, it's a sort of vagary of, well, here's the sort of things that we want to do, instead of, here are the questions that we're trying to answer, how can you help us answer those questions? Because that's actually, at the end of the day, what you're trying to do. And so those are the two lessons that I've learned either side of the fence. And I think if both parties paid more attention to those, then frankly, one would get better results.
Excellent insight. And it's important to note that early on in your tenure at Best Buy, when you were the CIO of Best Buy, prior to becoming the CEO of Best Buy International, you outsourced a good portion of the IT department. Can you describe the rationale behind doing this as well as the benefits you garnered from having done so?
Yes, I think, and you know, to say that there's one answer here, it would be incorrect. But the reality is that every company is at a different point in time in their maturity curve. You know, and some companies are well down the track, very mature, And some of the issues that they're facing are mature. So the answers are different in every single instance. There's no single cookie cutter answer here. From a Best Buy perspective, Best Buy have done incredibly well with a lot of push model, with a push model, with a sort of product-centric model. But at the time that I came into the business, it was very clear to the then CEO and myself and the board, candidly, that we couldn't carry on doing the same things and expect a different answer. We had to do things differently. But we also had to take advantage of the window of opportunity. So for me, it was about saying, here's the strategy, and this is why CIOs have to be very much involved in the strategy of businesses. If they really are involved and understand it and play a part in it, then they can come up with better answers. But having really understood what the issues were, in fact, helping the leadership team to face up to that issue and also come up with a separate answer, it became clear to me that the key enablers of supply chain and technology weren't where they needed to be. And the simple question was, could we get there? And I came to the judgment with many other people subsequently that we couldn't do it on our own. And so what we needed to do was to sort of partner with Best of Breed to help us get there. This wasn't about outsourcing to save money. You can do that, but you do that for a very limited time, and I think people that just outsource to save money, frankly, are into a hiding for nothing. So where I was coming from was we needed to move at pace. Best Buy is one of the finest companies in the world at doing things and moving at pace, but we needed to move even quicker. We also needed new capabilities. You know, we needed a good forecasting tool. We needed a new labor scheduling model that dovetailed with the space management. We needed a lot of capabilities very quickly. We had a lot of skills internally, but we didn't have all the point skills that we needed. So I needed to bring in new skills for a limited period of time to help us build these new capabilities and move at pace. We also subsequently needed to reduce the risk, because bringing about change is always driven with a degree of risk. In fact, everything you do has risk to it. How do you mitigate the risk? And bringing in a third party that's actually skilled or has skills that you don't have reduces that risk. And then finally, we wanted to reduce the costs. We wanted to reduce the TCO. So those are the sort of five things: pace, new capabilities, skills, risk, and reduced TCO. And reduced TCO and costs is the end item, not the beginning. I think people that outsource just to save money are in for a sort of rough ride, and I'm not sure that they're ever going to get to where they want to get to. And so I don't think you outsource to save money. You candidly outsource to get new capabilities, you know, for the reasons I've already said. Those were the principal reasons of why we outsourced, and we looked at multiple partners. We didn't just partner with one. We partnered with quite a number, in fact, three, four in principle, but there was a prime outsourcing partner.
Those are great insights, and I think that so many CIOs do, in fact, jump to the cost aspect of outsourcing, but it's such a compelling argument that you make that though it may be a piece of the benefits one might garner, it certainly should not be the first and foremost, and if, in fact, you are focused on that primarily, you're likely to be underwhelmed by the results.
I think that's right. I think the other key thing that one has to think about is that you have to look at processes all the way from the growing fields of Asia to the consumer's home. You know, you mustn't look at processes in the vertical, and too many companies still look at the supply chain or the logistics side, the fleet side, as one entity on its own, and they optimize that to the disadvantage of the rest of the supply chain pipe. If you start to run businesses and you look at end-to-end processes, then you start to make sensible decisions. And in some cases, you'll add costs to some part of the pipe or the process, but you'll take it out overall. And one of the things that we did, we certainly added costs, you know, in the applications area in order to build those applications and create the capability. But we took out costs overall by improving speed to market, improving availability, reducing the inventory levels, etc., reducing markdown costs. And if you looked at the things in the round, we saved a tremendous amount of money. I mean, I can't talk about the specifics of how much we saved, but it was very, very considerable and made a tremendous difference. But above all of the time, what you were trying to do, and this is why I was coming back to the original point about being clear what questions you're trying to answer, we looked to take as much work out of the stores and the channels as possible and pushed it back up the pipeline so that our people, the secret source of Best Buy, the blue shirts, were really engaging time after time with customers. And that was the why, that was a part of the secret and one of the reasons why, you know, Best Buy was so successful and will continue to be.
That's really fantastic. And I know from our past conversations that you've talked about how the smaller shell of the team that remained within the IT department once the outsourcing took place were people that were much more business savvy, were much more consultative in their approach. In fact, you refer to them as BIOs, business information officers. I thought that was such a clever way to put that. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about the role they played, how they worked with the business, how they were used to generate innovative ideas, as well as how they then took those ideas to those people who might, on the outside, who might then be responsible for helping to realize the vision.
Yes, I come back, you know, and I was very fortunate working with, Brad Anderson, who was the then CEO, because Brad was very open-minded about some of these transitional changes that were going on and going on in other industries, but not going on so fast in the retail industry. You know, for me, CIOs are actually agents of change. Yes, they have to be skilled in the technology. Yes, they have to understand how technology can impact the business. But the prime role, I think, of a CIO is to encourage change in an organization through technology. It's inconceivable that you can bring about change in a multifaceted, multi-located business without bringing that change through technology. And so you're about changing the processes, not the technology. And to do that, you've really got to excite your internal business users around how they can best do their jobs through technology so that technology takes out more of the mundane so they can, you know, really do what they do best, and that is to take their insights and knowledge and use that to make better decisions, but with technology doing more and more of the work and simplifying what it is they do. And for me, demonstrating that change was about recruiting 5-6 very talented people, you know, not calling them CIOs, but calling them BIOs, so that first of all, the business understood that their job was about the business and bringing, you know, information to help drive the business and help our business leaders be more successful. You know, at the end of the day, the technology function isn't successful unless its customers internally are successful. And that's a completely different mindset. So technology can't be successful on its own. It's only successful if its users, internal users, and ultimately external users are successful. So the role of the BIO was to really understand, you know, in the supply chain arena, the HR arena, all these major parts of the business that go to make up a company, they understand the needs of the particular users, their particular users in the different facets, and then what technologies are out there that could help them do those jobs better, simpler, quicker, for us to really gain a real point of difference over the competition. And that's what their prime job was. And then having got the business to understand what technology could help, by being clear about the outputs, the technology team then are left to come up with the inputs that deliver the outputs. You don't want business users worried about what technology to use. You want the business users to be clear, crystal clear, about what their objectives are. What are they trying to get out? What are they trying to do that's really different? How are they trying to excite the customers? How are they trying to improve the customer experience? If the internal business users, leaders are clear, then the technology team can take that clarity and come up with solutions that enable the business to perform that much better. That's why they're BIOs, not CIOs. And I also think that at some point in time, one has to think seriously about, you know, is the CIO the right title for what it is that gets done? I still think that good CIOs are agents of change. And if they partner appropriately with chief executives, they can actually enable the chief executive to get things done so much quicker and faster and ultimately at lower cost, if they have that great relationship with the guy in the corner office that has the day-to-day pressures of running the company.
So many interesting insights there, Bob, as I think about your response to that question. I know that traditionally there's been this gulf between those people who rise in an IT department and those people who rise, say, in the marketing department or sales or the other business functions. And what you're describing is building a role that not only bridges the gulf between those worlds where there are, you know, different educational backgrounds, different language used, different way of thinking of things, but rather hire people who have skill sets that take them to the other side of the bridge so they're on the same side of the gulf, so to speak.
Yes.
Is that a fair assessment? It seems as though, as I was thinking about the challenge that so many CIOs have in trying to excite the business to understand what IT can do, especially perhaps if there are members of the business community who are not so IT savvy, by hiring people who not only understand the business but can also then translate the needs they're articulating back to the business. I suppose that's the path towards doing that effectively.
Yeah, I think again, CIOs as they're currently called, their job is actually to demystify what technology does. And they shouldn't spend, in my opinion anyway, masses of time understanding what the blueprints are, what IT architectures are, because business users at the end of the day, they need an understanding of it, because the more they understand what a technology architecture looks like, what a good one looks like and a bad one, the better. But you don't need to go too deeply with it. But the real thing that has to happen, though, is that the BIO, the current CIOs, have to get closer and closer to the business and really understand the challenges and, you know, go out of their way to really represent those different answers, those different options, and let the business decide what the options are and really be seen to be stepping up to understand that. I think more and more of tomorrow's CEOs around the world won't come up from the traditional marketing route or the finance route, which they have done in the past. They're going to come up from the technology route, because if you think about it, technology touches every single facet of a business. There is nothing out there that doesn't come by way of technology, some way, shape, or form. And as we move through life, and we're more and more entering this whole connected world of communication, you know, online, offline, etc., especially with some of the wonderful things that Apple are doing, more and more, the people will better understand how technology can help run a company in a much more simplistic way and empower people to do much more face-to-face work with customers, whatever the business is. That will happen much faster if more and more CEOs really understand what technology can do, as opposed to coming up to the role through the other traditional routes. And if they really understand that and really optimize it, they can get things done much quicker, because they'll know what the art of the possible is through technology, as opposed to sort of saying, oh, well, I'm going to leave that to the CIO. That's the last thing that a CEO should do, is to leave it to the CIO. He should engage with the CIO, really engage, and share the issues and problems. And I think if more and more CEOs did that, the world would be a better place. And I was very lucky that I came up, worked with a team that really did enable us to do it. And fortunately, I was surrounded as well by immensely talented people who candidly did the work. It wasn't me. I was the conductor of the orchestra. The real talent was in the team. I just had a phenomenal team of people. I was very lucky.
Well, you're also very modest, and certainly as you create this vision of the CIO tomorrow and the path that he or she is likely to take, potentially more frequently ending up in the biggest chair, the CEO role, you certainly are an example of that now, about to embark on your second role as a CEO, which I'd love to get to in a second. Returning to the discussion around external partners, how do you recommend that CIOs evaluate their external partners? What sort of metrics did you keep to help ensure that you were getting the most out of them, as well as communicating back to them what you were expecting of them?
Again, I think you get the partners that you deserve. And why do I say that? You know, one of the first things that I was taught in my early days in leadership was, you know, if you end up running a part of a business, whether it's, you know, you're a merchant or you're a store manager or whatever, if things go wrong, look in the mirror. Because generally, they go wrong because you haven't been clear about what your expectations are, or you haven't really empowered people to come back with the appropriate answers. My view of working with third parties or partners, I hate the expression vendors, because I think it massively understates what true partnership is all about, with the Ciscos of this world, you know, those sort of people who, if you really partner with them, they can really help you. What you have to be clear about, I think, is, you know, is what it is that you want, as opposed to, you know, leaving the sort of brief too open. I also think it's more about the singer than the song. You know, if you work with good companies, you should always be very clear about who it is the person is in the company that you're working with who's actually going to be doing the work for you? Who's going to be partnering with you? And you need to make sure that that person really understands the values of your company. You know, in Best Buy's case, what did Best Buy stand for? And did they really understand that? If they understood that, and I understood the values of their company, were those values united? Because at the end of the day, if the cultures and values aren't aligned, the rest of it doesn't work. Because, you know, the most important thing is, if you're driving for a customer experience that's better than anything else out there, is the third party that you're working with, the partner that you're working with, of the same mind? Or do they have the same passion around quality of experience as you do? So I spend a lot of time when I see third parties is, right, okay, I understand the people that are coming to see me. If we work with you, who's the individual in your team that I'm going to be working with? Right, what's his CV? What's his background? Because that's why I say I think it's the singer, not just the song. So, you know, working with Cisco is critically important, but working with a particular person in Cisco is even more important. And
great
I think
point.
The more you understand that and the more you get into that, the better. And you should spend time doing that. The other thing you need to do is to understand what the track record of that company is. And you go through all the normal, you know, situations in terms of benchmarking. You know, are these people incentivized to help me drive down my cost? Or are they, first of all, help me simplify the business? I think you've got to be very clear about what you're trying to do. Then good partners can help you. All too often things go wrong when your partner isn't clear. And it's not about partnering or outsourcing and forget. It's about partnering and managing. You know, you've got to manage it. You know, at the end of the day, you steer the boat. Whoever you work with rows the boat. You know, you can never, ever give up that particular role. You've always got to, you know, manage a situation and steer it for the benefit of your internal customers, external customers, and shareholders. It's not something you can abdicate. And all too often people, you know, abdicate and it's not partnerial enough. You know, I used to sit down with our major partners on a regular basis. Right, what's it like on a good day with us? What's it like on a bad day? Not just what it's like on a bad day with them, because, you know, you've got to look at yourself in the mirror, because all too often the problems that, you know, your partners have are a reflection of you. That's why I say right at the beginning, you get the partners that you deserve.
Great point. I want to take just a brief moment to talk about the future. You left at Best Buy in December with the intention of retiring. With all your success as a business person, you turned out not to be quite as successful at retiring because you've now recently been named the group CEO of AlphaTame. I wonder if you can take a moment and talk about your new opportunity.
Yeah, well, I left Best Buy, retired from Best Buy about the end of the first week in January. I think it was the 5th of January. And that's been one of the most incredible experiences of my life, working with, you know, some of the probably one of the best companies in the world that really empowers people. And, you know, it was a great, you know, 8 years with me, well, 14 years altogether with the relationship with through Accenture. It was just an amazing partnership, and I learned so much. So it was a real tough call, you know, retiring from, but I got to the point where, you know, it was time. There's always a time, and you want to go out on a high, and, you know, you saw the results for this last year with Best Buy. It was just phenomenal, and, you know, Brian and the team have done just a great job. And so I was, you know, not going to go and sit on the beach. I can't do that, but I had been offered a board role with the AlphaTame Group last year, which I undertook. And as that partnership grew, I was offered the group chief executive job, which was, you know, quite frankly, quite flattering, because it's an enormous organization, bigger than the one I just retired from, much more complex with, you know, a huge construction business, a massive retail business, a massive banking and insurance business, financial services business, this huge auto business, leisure business with hotels and so on. A very, very complex group of companies, you know, in excess of 100 companies across a dozen companies, and, you know, mega billions of business. And just a great company, but lacking customer centricity. So having seen some of this and, you know, started to make proposals to the leadership, it was, well, why don't you come and run the company? And ultimately one decided, well, not sure I'm not going to get this opportunity ever again, so I think we might just park retirement for a while and take all the wonderful lessons that I've gained through my life and also the mistakes as well, because I made quite a few of those. It was all about then saying, now how can I help this organization, Alpha Team, grow, but it makes sure they don't make the same mistakes that I've made, but also take some of the wonderful lessons and successes of working with Best Buy, which, as I said, I think is one of the finest companies in the world. How do you take some of those lessons and apply them elsewhere in the world? And, you know, so for me, it's you don't know what you don't know. You learn every day, and I'm now working in a part of the world in multiple countries, from Libya, Syria, Jordan, Dubai, Egypt, as well as Europe, as well as here. So it's just an amazing experience for me, and I hope to do that for a wee while longer. But as well as stay in touch with people here in Best Buy.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck with that. Brian, do we have a question? Do we have time for a question or two?
I think we have time for a probably a quick question here. Bob, Peter, thank you very much. Great conversation. Bob, really great insights from all your experience. We appreciate it. Hey, congratulations on the new opportunity. I wanted to convey a question that I think a couple of people had weighed in on. Matthew is asking, how can I tell up front if someone is going to be a, quote, partner or just another, quote, vendor?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of that really depends upon what you want. I always go into situations with third parties that the days when I could manage a company that managed all 360 degrees of every single facet of a company are over. You know, you have to decide and determine what your core competences are and really apply all of your resources and talent to those core competences, and then work with the best companies in the world to do the bits that aren't your strengths. And I go into these relationships, partnerships, on that basis. So I'm going in assuming that everyone is a partner, because guess what? They're all customers at the end of the day, particularly if you're in the retail sector, they are your customers. So I go in on that basis, and you can quickly decide whether having worked with a company, whether this is a transactional relationship or an annuity relationship. You know, the difference is I'm buying something on a one-off basis, transactional, or annuity, where we have an in perpetuity situation, and that's the one today that you want, I believe, because there's only so many hours in the day. We're all trying to be the best of the best in terms of producing upper quartile returns for our shareholders and creating a great place for our employees to work and really play a critical part in the movie. You can only do that if you're working with very, very good third parties. And so quickly, you want to make sure that the people you're working with are the people that can help you grow, as opposed to transactional people. They have their place, but I think it's minimal.
Okay. I think we'll try to sneak in one more quick question here. And I think this has to do with sort of the way that your career has led upward, and I think some IT executives are looking to kind of glean some knowledge from that. And Tom is asking, what has been the most effective tactic you've used for getting closer to the business, as you said, about talking about sort of CIOs need to become BIOs? If there's one or two that you can mention, what sort of, like, you know, advice or experience would you share with people who are looking to do the same to build those strong relationships?
I think the number one thing is putting yourself out to understand the issues that your partners face. You know, if you're a technology person or a supply chain person or whatever capability you're in, you need to go out of your way to spend time with the people that you're serving, the users of your capability, to really understand the issues they're facing. And there's no better way of doing that by actually spending lots of time at the front end of the business, understanding, seeing, sharing, so that you are as well informed about what they're facing as they are, and then you can make a real contribution. Doing it in a superficial way doesn't work. And people, you know, your customers, your internal customers will quickly see through you if you don't do that. And they'll also have huge admiration for you if you do spend time really putting yourself in their shoes and understanding the difficulties and issues that they face and the pressures they face every day. The more you do that, the more that people will be prepared to share with you, and the more you'll learn, and the sooner you will also increase your own areas of responsibility and grow.
That's great. Well, thank you to Bob Willett and to Peter High for a really fantastic conversation. And this just about wraps up today's e-seminar. We hope that you found everything useful and that you can walk away with some real actionable information. The audio portion of today's e-seminar will now come to an end. Thank you again to Peter High and Bob Willett. I'm Brian Watson for CIO Insight. Thank you for joining us, and have a great afternoon.